So in our church service this Sunday, there was an explicit call for a prayer for the people of Sudan over the weekend.
Really?
Yes, indeed. I mean, and there's a connection between the sort of Episcopal congregation that we happen to go to and the Christian community in southern Sudan. And, of course, Sudan is voting in this historic election over the weekend. But it was interesting. All around the country, there were calls for prayers for the people of Sudan from worshipers in the United States.
Well, and there's actually 8 voting places in the United States where expatriates can go and cast their vote.
Indeed. Well, the voting, of course, is this referendum to split the country into a separate north and south. It began this past weekend. And in today's second day of voting, there were more lines of enthusiastic voters and more sketchy but generally optimistic reports of limited violence. All week, Takeaway producer Noelle King is reporting from the southern capital, Juba. She joins us this morning to describe the scene. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Celeste.
What are we listening to here, Noelle?
That is the sound of a couple dozen very excited southern Sudanese men who were standing in a long line to wait to vote. They'd been in the sun for a couple of hours, but it was doing nothing to dampen their enthusiasm. And they were making very, very clear that they planned on voting for secession. They want the South to become its own country, which is what's at stake here.
And this is a lot of confirmation of what you were telling us about last week, that there is an enthusiasm, that there is a sense that the time has come. Here's a 30-year-old man, a professional. His name is Carter Ohisa, who is expressing some of that enthusiasm. Let's listen to him and tell me a little bit about his story.
I'm actually voting for separation. Yeah, I need an independent state, a secular state. We express our will as people. We want to be independent, a sovereign state, and a free country, irrespective of other things. It's really a great day.
You know, it's interesting there, Noel, the kind of irony. He uses the word suppression, even though he means secession, but it's all sort of bound up in the same impulse, eh?
That's exactly right. I mean, in Sudan, there are many words and many themes that can be mistaken for one another. Carter is a 30-year-old electrical engineer, a member of what you might call Southern Sudan's tiny middle class. He admits that he's pretty lucky, but he does say, you know, we're standing on the brink of a new era, and I intend to cast my vote for secession. I intend to be one of the people that works to improve my country. Like many young people yesterday, Carter was pretty restrained. It was the older folks in southern Sudan. It was the folks who have lived through 40, 50 years of war. Those were the ones who got done voting, who raised their hands in the air, who whooped and cheered and hollered and then ran off home. So there were definitely some generational differences. Carter was a really good, really, really good illustration of what the younger people were feeling and thinking and saying.
Noel, you know, this is a country that's endured 23 years of civil war. More than 2 million people have been killed over the course of it. And then when you're reading reports from people either getting ready to vote or who have voted beginning on Sunday, many of them say that they're being freed, that they are the slaves who are being set free. I'm wondering, what are the plans for, should this vote go forward? Should we get 2 Sudans? And it looks like we will. What are the plans to make sure that these countries maintain a civil relationship once they're independent?
You know, there's a lot of talk diplomatically about reconciliation, about getting Northerners and Southerners to sort of shake hands across the divide, which will be, in fact, a new diplomatic border, we assume. But in the end, Celeste, the one thing that might keep these two countries together, everyone sort of assumes and is analyzing, is the oil that lies beneath the ground in southern Sudan and brings a lot of money into the country of Sudan right now. This oil lies beneath the ground of the south, but must be shipped up through pipelines in the north to the coast in the north. So as much as there is talk about good feelings, I really think it's going to be the practical things, the monetary things like the oil, that's going to keep these two nations friendly.
What will this election not resolve besides the question of what to do with the oil?
There are 2 big things that this isn't going to resolve, John. And the first of those is the fact that southern Sudan has tried to present a united front in the run-up to the referendum and during the referendum. But the fact of the matter remains is that there are big, big ethnic and cultural divisions, even within the southern Sudanese. So when they form, as they're assumed to, when they form their own nation, we will be looking at a nation that is very divided among itself. The other thing that this isn't going to solve is southern Sudan remains desperately poor. Most people live on under $1 a day. People live in huts. People don't have enough to eat. The education system is in disarray. None of these things are going to be solved immediately, and that's of great concern to people who feel like this referendum has put forward a lot of promises that may not be able to be delivered on immediately.
Speaking with Noelle King in the southern city of Juba, reporting on the referendum that is now underway in Sudan to possibly split that country into a north and a southern Sudan. I was struck by your reporting, Noel, even though you refer to violence that goes back more than a generation, the sort of official line on the length of the civil war is 23 years. And indeed, this Nidal William, a 23-year-old raised in Australia, who is an expatriate who's come home to vote, her life sort of spans the war itself. Let's listen to her, and I'd love to hear your impressions of her story.
South Sudan need to understand that we still need the north, in the sense that the pipelines still run to the north, the coastline still run to it's still in the north. So I think they can be, if people are really willing to have meaningful conversations, I think there can be an agreement or an arrangement where the north still get paid.
We need the north. What a sense of pragmatism there in that young woman.
Unbelievable. She's 23 years old. And again, that's the pragmatism that I talk about with the Southern Sudanese. She's an interesting character, Nidal was. Her father was a chief of staff, one of the very powerful chiefs of staff in the Southern Rebel Movement. He was killed in 1996. She left the country as a very young child. She moved to Ethiopia, and then she moved to Australia, where she's been living since she was about 8 years old. Very smart young woman, currently studying to get her law degree. But her plan is to enter politics, to return to Southern Sudan, and to enter politics, as she puts it, to help the nation move itself forward.
To be a part of that very challenging rebuilding and actually creating of an infrastructure in the very poor Southern Sudan. Finally, what is the state of the reports of violence, Noel, before we go?
Right now, in the places where there are polling centers, there are no reports of violence. In the contested Abyei region, the north and the south both lay claim to that region. That's where all the oil sits. There are reports that 23 people have been killed over the past 2 days by what they are calling Arab-armed militias, northern government-armed militias. Those reports are still speculation at this point, though.
All right. Reporting from Juba in southern Sudan, Noel King, associate producer for The Takeaway. Thank you, Noel.
Thanks, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.